Welcome to this edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today my guest is CeCe Thorne, and she has a lot that she wants to talk about, but she is very passionate about one thing. But one thing that she wanted was some Busch lattes.
I kept it classic. I had to keep it classic.
And nobody's had that yet, surprisingly.
I know. That is one thing that, like, I sat there and I was like, everybody's doing all these majestic things. And then there's me. I message you and I'm like, I don't know, let's keep it classic. Like, Busch Light.
Yep.
And you were like, I can do that. And I'm like, yes.
No, you know, I was going to buy like a 30 pack of them. But I was like, I don't have a place to keep these really nice and cold until you get here. So a 12 pack is all we got. So, I mean, I know they go down like water, but it's fine.
I mean, but it's Busch Light.
I know. It's the lattes. I mean, these things.
You can't go wrong with the latte.
Wait a second. Does this thing now have a pack where you can actually open it and put it in your refrigerator?
No.
Look at that. Yeah, there's like little creases here.
Oh, maybe. My God. There is.
The hell?
Shut up.
Yeah. What the heck?
We're discovering things now.
Yeah, just when you thought you weren't going to be... Well, you know what? I'm going to open up the normal way.
I was going to say, who does that, though? We're not...
Just when you thought you weren't getting a fancy drink, now you got something fancy on me here. But yeah, can never go wrong with a latte.
Hell no.
And you go down like water, like I said. Hey, Busch Light, if you want to sponsor me, you can take a...
If you want to sponsor me for what we're about to talk about, too.
That'd be great. You know what? I got to put this down there. Here, I'll put my sponsorship out there. There's your next one.
Yeah, because we know that we're probably going to be drinking more than one.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's crack these bad boys. Pretty sure everyone knows what a Busch Latte is.
Yeah, and if you guys don't, that's kind of...
Cheers.
Cheers, dude.
Just as I remember them from the river.
Oh, God, yeah.
So.
I don't know, though, if they go down like smoother in the winter because they're colder, or if it's like you're on the boat and you're just... cruising and you have them.
This is just one that everyone knows and you can never go wrong with a Busch Light because they go down in the summer and in the winter months.
Yeah.
The colder the better.
You don't have to switch it up.
However, if they do get warm, they're not as good, but you can get them down though.
Yes.
If I have a warm IPA, they ain't going down well.
No. And then they feel like they're extra fruity and then you're like, nah.
Also, I got you a fancy little bottle of water in case you need it.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, we pretty much are drinking water. But yeah,
just
in case.
We'll be fine with this. We'll be fine.
So, CeCe, is that your real name?
No.
It's not.
No, my real name is Sienna.
Sienna.
Yeah, not too many people know it, except for like the last couple of weeks. A lot of people have been saying it here in town.
Okay.
And I'm like, I think it's just to get under my skin because I'm like, stop.
You don't like it?
I get mad because a lot of people will butcher it. So they'll call me Sienna, and I'm like, there's no A in the middle of it.
Oh, it's just Sienna.
Sienna. Just like the color, like the van.
Like the van.
Like the van. I always tell people that, too. I'm like, so when people are trying to guess my name, I'm like, well, it's a color. And they're like, oh, how ironic, because you do hair. And I'm like, yeah, but it's also a car, kind of. And they're like,
Sienna.
What is it? I'm like, it's made by Toyota. And so then they're like sitting there like trying to think, and they're like, I'm like, it's like a minivan. And they're like, what?
So how'd you go with CeCe then?
So when I was a kid, I showed horses, and my best friend couldn't say my real name. Mm. And so she just used to call me C, and then it was CeCe. So CeCe just stuck.
Stuck with you.
Yep.
You know, it is pretty nice to say CeCe. It's two syllables. Sienna is, but it's, you know what? If people can't get your name right, CeCe works perfect.
So Andre, who was on here before.
Andre, yeah.
He calls me 2.0. I've known Andre for years.
All right.
And a 2.0 is a grade point average for a C. So that's why he always called me 2.0. And I was always like, at first I never understood it. He just started saying it. And I was like, what are you calling me 2.0 for? No. And then I finally got it. It was a grade point average. He finally told me. And I was like, he goes, I thought you were smarter than that. I'm like, you know, sometimes
gosh, damn it, you Andre. Okay. You dick.
He does.
He acts like such a nice guy here, but then he calls you
2.0. He is a nice guy, though. Like,
I know he is.
He's a great friend. He is very much of, like, he can be very black and white, but he is hands down, if you need a friend, he's the friend you're going to want because he will have your back. So, I mean.
Do you just know him from the Black Horse? Did you know him before that?
I knew him before the Black Horse.
Okay.
I mean, I've been friends with him for quite a few years, and then, like, I have been around the racing community also, so I knew him from there, and... Honestly, like for a long time, I wanted to work for him and then he wouldn't hire me for the longest time because we were friends. And he goes, it's either going to be one of those things that it's going to be really good or it's going to be really bad.
Sure.
And then with me opening up my business this last year, and it just kind of got to the point where it was like, we kind of both just were like, okay, I think it's time for you to be done. Like, you're busy enough with everything else you got in life. Yep. And he goes, I just want you to, you know, be doing you. And I said, you know what? I respect you for that. And I kind of was starting to get overly done, you know, like I was working all the time. I was doing so much. And I was like, I didn't want to disappoint him because he is one of my best friends.
Yep.
That I didn't want to be like a letdown to him. But when he was like, I know how you are, like, how about you start focusing on yourself a little bit more again? And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. He was the one who had to tell me to do it. Otherwise, I'm not the person to, like, let go.
All right. So you just opened up a business then?
I did.
Last year.
Yep.
What do you got?
So I own my own hair salon. I'm where Tom's Barbershop used to be here in Winona.
Okay.
Something weird about me, like one of my little quirks, I guess that a lot of people don't fully know about me, is I love local history.
So do I. Winona history?
Yes.
Yes, I do too.
There's so much history in Winona, and it's some of it's creepy.
Like, well, give me a creepy one that you think is creepy.
I don't know. Like, if you've ever, like, there's books at the library that, like, go back on about, like, mass murderers that, yeah, like, came through Winona and whatnot. And it's like, when you can walk through Winona and see where those people went, and you're like, ooh. Yeah. But, like, I found out, so I had contacted, it was one of the regulars at the bar, and he worked for the Historical Society. And I just asked him one day, I said, hey, you guys have records of addresses per se? Yep. And he goes, well, yeah. And I was like, could you look up my salon address? Because I know that, I know Tom was in there for quite a few years. I didn't know quite how many, but I knew there was a barbershop before him even.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out this year is 90 years of being a barbershop.
Really?
Out of where I'm at. And Tom was in there for 40 years, so he had it for the longest. Okay. But I was always kind of like, that was the spot that really I connected to. And at first, my landlord didn't want to give it to me. He wasn't going to rent it out. And I begged him. And finally, he saw me one day, and he goes, look, you know enough people in this town. I've talked to enough people. You know some of my good friends. He goes, I'll do it. And I'm like, yes. And I love it there. It's, you know, I'm right off of West 7th, so I'm not in a business district. I'm in a residential, I'm away from everybody, but yet I'm in a neighborhood, so then people walk their dogs by me all the time, and they're waving. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
That's a good way to meet people.
I love it. And I'm not, like, I'm not downtown where people can't get parking or whatever. It's just nice. I'm in a single salon. I mean, it's the size of most people's living rooms.
Okay.
So it's me, myself, and I, and I love it.
You don't need that much room, though, to cut hair, do you?
No.
People do it in their own basement, I think.
No. And I've, like, even, like, Pam here in town, she finally got back to work today, and I went in there, and I was visiting with her, and I was like, your salon's, like, double the size of my bathroom. Her salon's smaller than mine. I was like, holy moly.
Wow.
Hers is a little claustrophobic for me, but...
Was there any creepy stories that came out of that?
No.
Have you ever heard the story? Supposedly, there's a story that Al Capone came to Winona and got syphilis. Have you heard that one before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
I don't know. So, like, I was on... I do the history walks every so often.
The cemetery one?
No.
No.
The Historical Society does them for, like, downtown Winona.
Oh, really?
Yep. So it's kind of cool because they'll definitely go down 2nd Street.
Yeah.
And they definitely talk about where Pieces of the Past is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my uncle used to own that bar. It used to be Joe's.
Yep.
It was on the corner.
Yep, the Sunshine. It wasn't Sunshine when he owned it.
What the hell did he call it? I think it was Jake's Bar is what it was called.
Yeah.
Now, this is back in the mid-90s. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, he supposedly that's where he got it from.
Don't go there.
I don't think there's a brothel there anymore. I don't think so either. I don't know if Pirate Steve lives above there anymore either. He used
to. Steve the Pirate?
Yeah, I haven't seen him for a while.
I have. Yeah, I see him all the time because he used to come into Island City all the time.
I haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm. I just saw him yesterday.
He's a
very smart guy.
It's almost scary.
Yeah.
Like he knows.
He was actually dressed 2 days ago. I saw him walking down the street. He was dressed, looked like a World War II soldier. So
one of my friends actually saw another guy who's been walking around town who looks like Ozzy Osbourne.
Really?
Yeah, there have been multiple sightings of him.
Multiple sightings. So now,
sometimes when I'm off of work and I'm kind of bored, I try and drive downtown just so I can maybe see this, like, Ozzy dude.
Ozzy, just rocking out.
I want to see him, but I haven't yet. Like, I don't know. Like, Winona's got characters. I mean, I could sit downtown, especially, like, Steamboat Days is one of my favorite things.
When you just sit on a bench
and you just watch.
Yes.
And you're just like, are you even from town? Who are you?
My dad calls it Gonzo Days. It's a people watching time, though. I tell you that much.
It is so great. You just go down there. You get, like, your Stumpy's pizza.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And then you sit there and you just eat it and watch people and just
enjoy.
Heck yeah.
That's cheap entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you call your salon?
I'm Salon C. I kept it really simple.
Salon C. 2.0 or not?
No, just Salon C. CI. So.
CI. Okay. Yep, awesome.
I love it.
So what got you into hairstyling? Because I had another girl on here. She was from Michigan, and she's been in her first couple of years of hairstyling. Doesn't own a place. But I was just wondering, how do you get into it, or what drew you to it?
So my sister owns a hair salon.
Okay.
And so I grew up, my sister's a lot older than me. She's 16 years older than me.
Okay.
And so obviously age gap. She's been doing hair since I was a kid. And I would do like job shadowing of different jobs of maybe what I wanted to do. Like at one point I job shadowed a dentist here in town, ended up passing out, got told don't work healthcare. So
blood?
I was fine with the blood. It was the root canal and the drilling.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sound fun.
So I ended up at my sister's salon, and then I went to school for law enforcement. Ended up totaling my car, couldn't pass a PT test after. And so then I was like, you know what? Okay, I was working for Quick Trip and met a few people, and they were going to go to school for cosmetology. And I said, no, you know, that sounds pretty cool. Like, eventually I want to try and get into, like, something else other than law enforcement, because obviously I can't really do it. And so I started off as a joke. We had this running joke of who's going to last the longest at cosmetology school. Well, out of the three of us, two of us graduated. And out of the two of us that graduated, I'm the only one still doing hair.
Really?
Yep.
Where'd you go to school at?
Up in Rochester.
Okay.
I was at Rochester School of Hair Design, which is no longer a school. Got sold out about 3 years after I graduated.
Okay.
But learned a lot there, and then moved to Owatonna for a while, did hair there. And then I moved back home after my dad's death, and I mean, I've been back here almost 9 years now.
Okay.
And I told myself at first, I was like, I don't want to be back here. I need to get out. Now look at me. I'm still here.
You know what? You know, people sometimes had a negative connotation when we were in high school. Because what year did you graduate?
11.
11. I'm 06. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'll be a townie, You know, I don't want to do that. You know what? This town is actually, I like this town, to be honest with you. I don't like the winters, but everyone knows that about me. But other than that, I really like the town. I feel at home. I think about when I lived down in Georgia for a couple of years, I'm like, why did I ever do that?
Okay, it was weird. So now I have a question for you. Have you noticed, so like me, I moved away for a little while after high school, came back. You kind of like changed your perspective a little bit on life. And you can almost notice like those people that like never left Winona, they kind of still have like that small town, very like Winona-y, I don't know how to really like say it, attitude. But then you can notice the people who moved away for a little bit, but then it's also like you have like a class reunion, or there's people who come back for the holidays and they're like, so like you're still in Winona?
Like, is that like the movie Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds?
Like, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, damn, I moved away for a little bit. Like, I just happened to come back and then I never left. Like, when they say Winona, sometimes, like, when you move back, it's a sinkhole. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't really know that because I see some people when they come back and I just say hi to them in a passing, or maybe they're out at the brewery and I'm there too, or maybe at a bar. And, you know, I say hi to them. But the people that I knew that moved away, and they didn't really move that far away, most of the people. They're like Minneapolis. Well, to me, that's, you know.
You're still in the state.
You're still in the state. Like,
but you still moved.
The one thing, though, I do like is that I moved away to Atlanta, Georgia, and it gave me a different respect for Winona and the more of a community feel you have here rather than down there. I always tell everyone it's like a melting pot there. There's so many different people, so many different backgrounds, nobody knows who the heck you are.
Even like Rochester even did that for me. And it was like, I liked Owatonna because Owatonna was a lot like Winona without the college. And I mean, that was nice, but I mean, one thing I will say is like, I don't know, maybe my class was a lot different than a lot, even a lot of teachers say that like my class was a lot different than a lot of classes they had in the past. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody in our class was friends. Like it did, like, yes, you still had your own like little cliques, but we all still got along and we all still goofed around and like nobody was really like, yeah, you still had your popular crowd, but they weren't like, we didn't really necessarily have like mean girls. Yeah. You know what I mean? You didn't have like the I'm popular or hi, I'm the nerdy type. Like we all just kind of talked to each other and still.
Yep. I never felt that either, but I get along with just about everyone, whether it was the sports people, the people that were into cars, into other things. You know, I may just not have talked to them, but I feel like if you're just a personable person, nobody ever really kind of gives you grief, and you just get along with everyone.
Yeah,
and you seem pretty upbeat like that. Because, I mean, clearly we were in school at the same time, so I didn't know you back then. Because you went to senior high, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I went there as well, and I always ask, oh, how was the public school? I'm like, I had no problem with it. I enjoyed it. You know what? In fact, I tried Cotter for 2 weeks when I was a junior.
For 2 weeks?
Hated it.
I feel like our teachers, like, we had awesome teachers.
Who was your favorite? Did you have a favorite?
I did.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I had, like, two. Okay. Obviously, Sather. Sather has always been an all-time Winona Senior High teacher favorite. But this one always came as a curveball to everybody. Mr. Bill Schmidt was my favorite
teacher.
Bill Schmidt's
awesome.
He was my all-time favorite teacher other than, obviously, Sather. Because I had Sather for FFA and A classes, but
I had Sather Bill
Schmidt,
for
Bill Schmidt was by far my favorite. I love that man.
He was awesome.
He's so cool. Yeah. Just down to earth, just funny dude.
Did you have Sather for what classes?
Fish and wildlife, small animals, then obviously FFA stuff. I tried... I did floriculture with him, I think it was the class's name. Yeah. Where it was with the flowers.
Horticulture, yes.
Yeah. Okay, first off,
you're not good at it? Or you don't like it?
Okay, I was not. I do hair, okay, mind you. But I am probably not, I'm not very girly. Like,
yeah.
I curl my hair twice a week. At least I try to.
Sure.
Make myself look not like a potato all the time.
Like a potato.
But like, I told you to bring Busch Light for Christ's sake.
Hell yeah. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm not like the girly girl. So when I was like looking at flowers and he goes, I'm like, I know what a perennial and an annual is.
Yeah. That.
You tell me anything else other than that.
So you kill all your plants?
No. Actually, I have a very green thumb. I keep my plants alive, but I have to keep them at my salon.
Oh, okay. Because you're there more.
Yeah. The time. But they're alive and everybody's like, you have such a green thumb. And I was like... But there are also plants that I only have to water like once every other week.
Sure.
So I don't feel like you can kill those.
Just get a cactus.
That's my sister's thing.
That's your sister's thing.
Yeah, that's my sister's thing.
So when you get when you're doing hair, then what's your favorite to do? And the reason I asked this is because I asked the last girl, and she was telling me hers, and I wanted to see is there one that's easy for you, and there's one that's like, ugh, I hate when they ask me to do that one, but I'm going to do it.
I will say, a lot of people look at it because I own a hair salon. That they would think I love doing women's hair.
You like men?
I love doing men's haircuts.
Cool.
That is my all-time favorite. It's always been my favorite. But my second favorite would probably be blonding. Like highlights for women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's coming back for men too, isn't it? Some guys are still kind of getting it.
And honestly, believe it or not, the merm. I don't know about your students.
The merm?
The merm, the man perm.
The man perm. My dad had one of those back in the 80s.
With the mullet?
I don't know if he was going for the mullet, but it sure as hell looks like it. I saw his old business cards, and it was pretty curly.
And you're like, it was
He's going to be listening to this just laughing right now. I have photos.
He's like, don't bring that up.
No, he loves it.
This is where you take a segment and be like, look at this.
Yeah.
Rich will be like, stop.
So the man perm is coming back?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the boys are doing like the disconnected on the top and kind of getting this all permed and coming up with a flow.
Okay.
On the top. And it's also do you remember Boy Meets World in the 90s, a TV show?
Oh, right? I love that show.
Okay. Do you remember
I'll remember it.
The part?
Yep.
And the boys where they flowed back. That's coming back really hardcore too. But take that, and instead of parting it in the middle per se, flowing it forward with a perm.
Sure. Oh man, Sean Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just gotta grow yours out. We could perm it.
I've tried to grow mine out. No. I absolutely hate it. You know, fun fact that I've said on this before. I cut my own hair. I've learned how to cut my own. I have a trifold mirror. And my other house had it. My new one had it. I was like, oh, perfect. I can keep doing my hair. Because when I do it, I have the trifold mirror, and I can basically get a 360. I'm not saying the blending's perfect, but I've learned to do it, and I like to cut my hair about every week and a half.
Yep.
So my hair grows fast.
I have some guys that, like, they'll cut their hair a few times in between haircuts, and then they'll look at me and be like, I kind of need you to fix what I've been screwing up. And then I'll do it, and then I'll see them in another 4 months.
See, that's the thing. I would be in every week and a half, and I'd be just broke.
I have some guys, like, they love their bald fades, and they're in my insurance agent's in every 3 weeks to get his haircut.
Nice.
And it's like, and sometimes I'm like, dude, didn't you just get your haircut? And he's like, yeah, but it's getting long. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I love a fresh cut. I love how it feels. I love how it looks.
I will say, like, a lot of women, I don't understand this. I always see on the internet where it's like girls would be like, walk-in men's haircut comes in and it's like the screaming running away. And I'm like, me, I'd be like, hey, what's up? What's up? Or like, but like when like a lady comes in, they're like, I want some layers and this. And I'd probably be running from that. Like,
so you like the men's guys better?
I like, okay, so okay. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. So men are pickier than women.
I can agree with that.
And it's funny because a lot of women they'll probably watch this and be like, no. Listen to me here. Men know what their hair is supposed to look like, and men are a lot more realistic on looking at hair photos about, like, well, my hair does this, and his colic does this, and I like this, and men are just a little bit more precise on what they're looking at and what they want. So, like, men are more particular on their haircuts, where sometimes, like, trying to explain to a woman, like, you have very fine, thin hair like mine, but you bring in a picture with somebody with super thick hair, it's not going to lay the same. And they're like, but I want it to. And I'm like, but it won't. Like, I just can't physically make it look the same as what this photo is.
Sure.
And it's hard. It's heartbreaking to sometimes tell people that. But, like, men, I also like it because it's like women, I mean, if you make a mistake per se on a layer, you can generally kind of hide it a little bit.
Right.
Men, oh no.
The fade, you cannot hide it. They're sticking hairs out.
You yep. cannot hide a mistake. So it's kind of more of the challenge of it too. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, I've always enjoyed men's haircuts more just because it's more of a precise haircut per se.
Art?
And just, yeah.
Arch on the head. I mean, I noticed the one thing that's coming back is they'll keep it longer on top and then it's shaved on the sides, but then this is long kind of down the back, almost yep. like a... I don't know, a rooster? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
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 I noticed that's a pretty popular one amongst the boys. I don't know if Morgan Wallen made it popular or what it was, but.
It's some singer on the internet somewhere on TikTok.
Some
we
TikToker.
Already know it.
Yeah.
We already know it.
So you like the men's haircuts, and then how's the business then? Are you having to go out and get your business, or are people just seeing you by word of mouth?
A lot of times, well, let me talk about the other part. People see me out at the bar.
Yep.
And they'll be like, hey, what do you do for a living? And I tell them that. And they're like, oh, hey, you know, my hand and my business card are out. I just tell them, hey, just stop by, whatever. And they're yep. like, okay. Otherwise, I mean, I grew up around here and grew up just south of Ridgeway. So I know a ton of people. Plus, my original last name is Johnsgaard. We all know about 17 billion of them. So.
Yep. And none of them are related, usually. I don't know.
Yeah. We're related, but it's just like
distant.
Oh yeah, I would be like, I'm related to that one, but he's like my second cousin, 17th removed, something another, or whatever. Yeah. Like my dad's first cousins with his uncle's cat, or I don't know.
His uncle's cat. Correct. Yes.
But it's like we're all related in some way, shape, or form. It's just like I know that my grandfather had 9 siblings. Like that was my grandfather, and then like my great grandparents, I think had 5 or 6.
Sure.
So then when you break that all off into it, I mean,
that has a lot of layers. Oh, like the hair.
Oh yeah. My dating opportunities are about this big just because of
gotta
that.
Be careful.
Yeah, and then my mom's originally a Pulowski. My mom's mom. So then I'm like sitting there and I'm like,
you know a lot of them.
Yeah. So a lot of people always used to joke. They're like, if you don't know them, you're related to them.
Oh.
And I just sat there and I was like, I'm like, you know, and I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know way too many people and too many people know me, but it's so weird because sometimes they'll be like, you're Stacey. And I'm like,
I am.
How do you know me?
Well, we're actually cousins. 17th removed.
You know, that actually did happen once. And I was like, oh.
Wait, you weren't on a date, were you?
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
good.
No.
Has that ever happened?
No.
That's good.
No. No, thankfully. Normally, I will kind of like go through the whole thing or like, of like, so are you from around here?
They do a family tree.
I do. Like, if I can even find the slightest bit way that I'm even slightly related to you, we're done. Cut off. Next.
So how do you like owning your own business? Is it awesome or is it
love it.
Struggle sometimes?
I love it. And I've noticed like, so in the last year, a lot of my clients, obviously they came with me from my other salon.
Okay.
A lot of them have said that what they like and enjoy is because it's one-on-one personable. I don't have another person in there. They don't have to listen to other people's conversations.
Sure.
They can sit there. We can just hang out. And honest to God, it is just like hanging out with a friend. It's just kind of like me and you talking right now. We can just sit here,
yep.
You know, talk, shoot the shit, and just say, hey, how's it going? Like, sure. And one lady actually told me the other day she was in for a perm, and I had a few people just stop in and be like, hey, you know, blah, 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 this, that. And she looked at me when she got done, and she goes, you want to know what I really appreciate about coming here? I said, what? And I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, God. Because I don't know, it's weird. I don't like compliments very well. It's a weird thing for me, but...
Yeah, you know what you do? You say thank you when they're done.
I know, but she looked at me and she goes, the one thing I like is everybody who comes in here is like a friend to you.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, everybody talks to you like a friend. You talk to them as a friend. She's like, you've never made me feel like a business transaction.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's not my doing. I'm like, honestly, I'm like, I like... the way I have it because I do feel like it's like, hey, when somebody calls me and if I don't have your phone number saved in my phone, I'm like, hey, it's CC, what's up? Or as soon as I have your phone number saved in my phone, like if you called me, I'd be like, hey, Chris, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah.
And they love that. Like they don't like it where I'm like answering and like, hey, Salon C, how may I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And they like that I'm more personable in that fact. And I'm like, thank you. Like, that's one thing that I always wanted that I said that if I owned a business, I wanted to make sure it felt like friends were just getting together and just hanging out.
I mean, Ice Cube made a movie franchise off of it called The Barbershop. So that's all it is. It's just kind of a place to come hang out and maybe even therapy for some people.
I've had friends when I get done with work, they'll come and hang out at the salon.
Sure.
Play cards. We'll just hang out in my salon. It's funny. Like, there was one day my landlord came over and he goes, what you guys doing? We're just like, I don't know. The one guy goes, I brought over some beers. We're sitting here playing cards. And he's like,
okay.
All right, have fun. And he goes, I'm like, well, if you want to join us. And he goes, no, I got to go check on some other properties. And I'm like, all right, have a good night. And he goes, I just thought it was weird that you guys were just sitting in here. Kumbaya. And I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
So where's the location then? You said it's on 7th Street. What's the
475 address? West 7th.
475 West 7th.
So right next to Old Madison Elementary.
Oh, yeah. Where that's at then.
Yep.
Probably, I'm sure I know your landlord too.
Oh, probably. He's actually pretty good. He's
He's
running for county commissioner.
I know exactly who it is then.
Yep.
Old Gerald.
Yeah.
I know.
He's an awesome dude. I love him.
He stuck a sign in my rental property yard too.
He, honest to God, you know, like I've heard so many horror stories about like some of the landlords here in town. And I could tell you right now, Gerald is hands down the most like wholesome dude.
Yeah.
And he like, same as me, you know, like... I'll walk in if he's cleaning the laundromat next to my salon. He's like, hey, Cece, how's it going? I'm like, good, just getting my cherry Coke, going back over to my salon, you know? And he'll just, he's very personable, very just, he cares about people.
That's what you want, too, and have a nice relationship with your landlord.
He's, honest to God, super down to earth. I love him as a person. Like, I don't know.
You never notice, all you have to do is just be a nice individual and your landlord and you will get along very, very easily.
Oh God. Yeah. And we communicate with each other. Like if we have issues or whatever and I'm like, hey, I got this going on. It doesn't really matter when you do it. I'm just letting you know. Or if something's happening over at the laundromat, I'm like, hey, somebody came over and told me about this. And I'm like, I wouldn't worry about it, but if you want to go do it, like,
sure.
And he's like, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of a nice thing. We just, and we've known several people in common. So it's like, you know, we always have something to jabber about, too.
That's good. So, yeah, you said you meet a lot of your clients just being out and about, and one of those things is darts, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big part of your life.
Yes, huge.
Okay, because for me, darts is like, hey, I'm having a drink with my friends, and they go, hey, you want to throw some darts? I'm like, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Because then I start getting competitive, and I know I'm not the best darts thrower by any means, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to win now. That's one thing I don't like is it's not going to be relaxing for me, even though I'm trying to relax and have a beverage. When someone
You're
goes,
like,
hey,
I'm
wanna
get
let's
it.
Throw some darts, I'm like, okay, now I'm trying to win. So, where'd you love of darts come from? Just as a little girl?
Yeah, so like when I would be with my dad, my stepmom used to manage the bowling alley in the AC, and so I would
in the AC
athletic club.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I would go upstairs, hang out with Terry, shoot some darts, and then I would go downstairs, play some pool. And
Terry Howell?
Yeah. Or not downstairs and play pool. I'd do some bowling.
Sure.
So I would sit there and shoot that. But then, I don't know, when I was living in Owatonna, I was bartending out there, and somebody needed a sub for darts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know, I played as a kid in the bar when I was just, you know, like waiting on my stepmom to get done with work. I'm like, I'll get my hand at it. So I played for a little while on there, and it was fun. And then when I moved back home, one of my friends found out that, hey, I know that you used to be on a league in Owatonna. And I was like, dude, no. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I was like, yeah, I'll come up. I'll shoot. So I started shooting on his wife's team out of Dover.
Okay.
And came in, and then I shot that and ended up shooting the DNR Stars year end. And I mean, I really didn't care at the time. Like, I didn't, like, whatever. And I got out of a bad relationship, and I remember my grandfather looking at me. Now, mind you, we were up on the farm, and he goes, you need something to preoccupy your time. You need to find yourself a hobby. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, what is there to do? And then I started thinking about things that I enjoyed doing. And I was like, well, I do like going out on dart night. I do like doing that. So yeah. I was like, okay. And I knew a few people here in town that were pretty good at darts. And I was like, hey, you know, can I start shooting here in Winona and whatever? And ended up getting a dart partner. And we shot out of Cato for doubles and loved doing it. And then he moved away and ended up getting my current doubles partner, Chris Morganson. She has been shooting darts here in town for longer than I've been alive.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And so she was actually going to retire doing darts. But I was like, will you please?
Will you please stick around?
Yeah. And so right before COVID hit, like the year before COVID hit, I don't know if you know Juice Shelton or Rob Orlikowski.
I don't think I do, but if I saw him, I might.
Probably. So Juice kind of took me underneath his wing, and he looked at me and he goes, you want to get good at darts? And I said, well, I shouldn't be shooting this many darts if I'm not going to try and get good at it at this point. Like, I keep on being told I need to get a hobby that I'm going to stick with and I just need to do. And started getting passionate at it. Started, you know, like, Rob would show me ways to get more consistent. And Juice would show me different ways of how to play, like, a cricket game, for instance. Because there is several different ways to play that game. And it is strategy.
Okay.
I mean,
I want to go off of that then, because that's my favorite one is cricket.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one where you're trying to close out, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what are the different strategies?
First off, you do realize you can't lose the game if you have points, right?
If you're ahead of the people?
Yep. If you're ahead in points.
Yep.
That points win games.
Yep.
It's called cricket 200 for a reason sometimes.
Okay.
That's always a sarcastic joke that a lot of people hate, by the way. People who shoot darts are going to be like, see? I'm like, the other thing, like a lot of people here in town, I mean, like when now that I've gotten a little bit better, I'm in a higher kind of competition.
Sure.
Mike Klungvitz kind of showed me, you know, like make sure you're pointing first, you know, like make sure you're a triple ahead. Like, so say I have 20s closed and the other person has 19s, I should at least have 60 points on the board, if not 80, before I try and go down and hit the 19.
Okay.
Or there's the option of you can try and just close out everything and then point, which is not always the smartest thing because those other people, once you get up to cricket 200, sometimes it's hard to come back and get all those points.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because if I'm going, if someone says, let's go play the bar, I know what I'm supposed to be doing now.
that's like, one I'm option. Coming for you.
That's one option because I should be up by about a triple before I start trying to close out your stuff. Because you're right. You can't lose if you're heading points, no matter what. Okay. So what's another option?
I guess I'm closing everything out.
Just try to close everything out. Okay. What if I suck?
You try your damnedest, I guess.
Try my damnedest.
I mean, one of the biggest things that my friend Rob taught me was when you're warming up, obviously a lot of people who go out to the bar and just shoot, they don't like warm up, but they get frustrated or whatever.
Sure.
One of the biggest things he told me, he goes, Case, find your spot that you're going to stand at. Look at what you want to aim at. I don't care what you aim at, throw it. If you don't hit that spot, I don't care. You aim for your flight.
Okay. That makes
sense. So you constantly just want to keep on aiming for your flight. And eventually you kind of get that muscle memory building up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of that was one big key thing for me. Another thing that somebody kind of gave me an analogy about, they said, think of like your posture and how you're shooting and your consistency of your body. So I always tell a lot of people who are trying to get a little bit better about, think of your stance. So everybody wants to, stand a little bit different. I always tell everybody, I'm like, okay, so I'm right-handed. So this leg is always locked. It's always straight.
Your right leg?
I don't bend it. So think of yourself on like an old school bicycle. You got the big tire and you got your small tire that was
your
director.
Penny farthing?
Sure, I don't know what it's called.
Yes. It's the penny farthing.
So your front tire isn't what you directs you. It's your back tire.
Okay.
That's your directional point.
Sure.
But your big tire is the one that's your main stabilizer, correct?
Okay.
So now you're thinking you got to be straight. So you want your foot, your knee, your hip, and your shoulder, when you first kind of gear up, to kind of be there. You can lean in your shoulder a little bit, but you don't want to change this too much. Your back foot can kind of like, depending on if you're closer to your other foot,
mm-hmm.
you can shoot up higher, you can shoot down lower, you can twist your back foot, and it'll actually twist your hip, which will make you turn from like a 16 that's on the left side of the board to a 15 that's on the right side of the board.
Ah.
But if you find your sweet spot, like say when I shoot, I have to be just a little left of the center point of a bowl. So when I shoot, that's where I'm at. And if I can consistently hit a bowl, I can generally consistently move at least from a 20 to a 19 to 17, 18. Sometimes, yes, I will have to move to like hit a 15 or a 16 because those kind are more on the outskirts of the board.
I don't like those ones. Those are my least favorite, 15s and 16s.
Those are generally my favorites.
Really?
I don't know. I go through these little things and it's always in my head. I got to keep on telling myself, you're a loser. It's in your head. That I either love 17s some days and then other days I love 19s. And I'm like, you're dumb. It's all in your head. That's why I keep on telling myself, you're dumb. Get it out of your head. And for a long time, I struggled with like a self-esteem issue. And so like, I have such great friends. Like they helped me where they were like, darts helped me actually get away from my self-esteem issues. My friends that are here in town, like I'm going to tell anybody here in Winona, if you ever want to start shooting darts, if you want to join my friend group, you can, because I have probably the best, I'm going to say hands down, I have the best friends group in town.
Okay.
Like everybody's very supportive of each other. We have a group chat. We call each other the dart family. Like I look at everybody who's part of that group and I mean like the Klung vets, I call them my parents, you know?
Yeah.
I call like Juice my brother. Like people, we're close. We're very tight knit, but we're welcoming in anybody and we'll help out anybody. It's just anybody's willing to help out anybody in our group.
That sounds awesome. Do you want another beer? Yes.
Yes.
So you got a friends group that you have really good relationships with. Anybody that's new to it would be honored to be with you, right?
Yeah, with any of us.
Right, because you guys would help them out.
God, yeah.
But you play competitively, correct?
God, yeah.
God, yeah.
I just got back from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. What was down there?
So it was TOC, Tournament of Champions, brought on by PPD. So PPD is big nationwide kind of tournament. You qualify for it shooting like our Stans Field Leagues, which are here in town. Anybody who shoots a league, you know, you can qualify for it. You just have to have 750 games.
In a year?
Yeah, in a year.
Holy smoke, that's a lot.
That's really not that much.
I suppose not.
No, you and I'm like looking at you and you're like,
I played like maybe five this year. So
I mean, it is a lot, but it's not a lot.
So okay, so you play League, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, how many matches do you play in a night?
So each night there's about 13 games. Generally.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then that would be really easy.
When it's two people, it's 13 games. When you're playing team, it's still 13 games, but you're only playing six of them.
Okay. Still, seven, that's a lot. Seven then. Of them. Like your one night in league takes out my whole year, basically.
Yeah. 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 And last week I shot 5 days. This week I only shot one.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
So
nothing going on?
No. Monday night. Our league, the other team was, I think, from Nebraska. They couldn't shoot, so Chad Cordova was like, "Hey, they can't shoot." So we're like, "Okay, whatever."
Was that two brothers for this league?
No, we actually shoot out of Port because
at Port, okay.
Two brothers and Lucky's is closed on Monday, so we shoot out of Port. So we go with Brink. On Tuesdays, I shoot out of Lucky's for Chad Cordova, and that's women's league. And me and Mama Jamie, we switch on and off because if both me and Jamie Klungvet were on at the same night, I think we would get kicked out of league.
Why is that?
Because we're both very, very good.
Oh, no. People would be pissed off? Or
yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. So we try and not be mean. That's, I guess, nice of you. Just kidding. We're still mean. At least I am. She's nice. She's Mama Jamie. And then Wednesday night, I shoot doubles with my partner Chris out of Port. That's just a regular Stansfield league.
Okay.
Thursday nights, I shoot with a few guys, and we shoot DNR Star League out of Pooters. Okay. Up in Altura. And then on Friday night, I'm kind of on a couple of different leagues. I shoot a TOC league with the same boys that I shoot Thursday night with, out of Slice/Brickyard Week in between the two bars.
Okay.
And then I'm also on, I kind of sub for a mixed couples Stansfield league.
Okay.
So... yeah, and then so on Saturdays, wow. And then on Saturdays, depending on what we're yet. Doing, then I will generally see if there's a luck of the draw tournament somewhere, and sometimes I'll go and do that. And then on Sundays, I'll go over to Market and watch the boys shoot league and hope to God they don't ask me to shoot because I need one day to recover my shoulder from doing hair and throwing.
Warm it up, baby.
I'm telling you, thank God Chris, my dart partner, is a massage therapist because otherwise I don't think I could.
I need that in my life.
Oh, she's awesome. She's got these noodly fingers. I get in.
Yeah.
I got it done on Wednesday night, and let me tell you, I'm in pain for about 2 days after just because of her working out everything.
Yeah.
But then for like 2 weeks, I'm like, what's up? My name is Cece.
My shoulders feel fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm about to murder you in darts. So what's the luck of the draw then? What is that?
So it can be different ways. I mean, it would be like me and you show up to a dart tournament and you randomly get partnered with somebody else that paid $10 to be in there.
And then what are you trying to play for? Is it a pot?
Yep.
Okay.
So normally like top, well, depending on how many teams there are, but generally top three get paid out.
Okay.
And it's just kind of a cool little thing. There's other ones that we go, we call them high-lows. So somebody who has an average, you come in, you tell them your cricket average. And so, like, mine's a 2.5 right now, which I went down.
What does that mean? What does 2.5 mean?
Okay, so...
I see it when I'm, like, shooting, all of a sudden, like, 1.6 comes up. I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
So okay. What an average is like, so when you hit a triple, that's three. So you hit three triples, that's nine. So your cricket average is whatever. So, like, if you hit three singles, it's still a three.
Okay.
I mean, I think the, I want to say it's like 8 point something is a perfect game.
Sure.
If you actually shoot, like, a perfect game.
And I won't.
I've never done it yet. I don't even, I think there's one guy that I know that's actually shot a perfect game. But otherwise, like, some of the best guys in the nation, like I was looking, like they were just doing, they call it the CSC, the Challenger Series. These guys have an average, normal average of a 5.8 something. So that's almost two triples at least per round. And whoa. I'm sitting there and I'm like, they're over double my average. I'm like,
that game would be done real fast.
They're, but not a lot of times they're not because they're going back-to-back nine marks on darts. And like, I mean, it's crazy to watch some of those matches, and it's like, I inspire to be you, but I know, like, I drink too much sometimes at league, and that's why my average is going down.
Like, oh, no. Oh, no.
The Busch Light and the Crown gets to me, and I'm like, ooh.
Oh, Crown, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Idea. Yeah.
We're keeping it low-key with the Busch Lights mm-hmm. right now. So, now, the Tournament of Champions, that's something totally different. That's a league throughout the whole United States or something?
Yep. So, like I said, so anybody who, like, shoots for, like, Stansfield Vending or Williamson's, which is also here in town, a local yep. vendor. A lot of Williamson's is also connected up to Stansfield. DNR Star, which is just out of Rochester. They can all qualify you for this Tournament of Champions. If you want to get into what they call the finale, you have to shoot like PPD leagues, and then you get a qualifier from either, you can get a qualifier from either PPD themselves, or like I personally got my qualifier from Stansfield.
Okay.
So then you get your qualifying ticket and you have to shoot your singles qualifier. So depending on where you place in your qualifier, is where you get, you're either in elite, which is the highest, you get masters, pro or semi-pro. So you get kind of divided up on, depending on where you placed on your qualifier.
Sure.
Some, if you're a woman, thankfully I'm a woman, you get placed automatically, but a lot of times it is a male dominated sport. And mm-hmm. so there's some men that get qualifiers and they don't make it into the finale.
Okay.
Which sucks. Cause it's like, I've known, there was one guy I had known that he was literally like, he was waiting for people to drop out to be able to get in. So he actually was able to get into the finale. But otherwise, if people wouldn't have dropped out from not going down there, he would have never been able to shoot the, he would have never been able to shoot the finale down there.
Okay. So then what do you win if you, like, you went down to Kansas City?
Yep. So I went down to Kansas City. So, like, I shot my qualifier and ended up fifth in my qualifier out of 32.
Okay.
So they kind of, like, it guaranteed me for masters, if not elite. So you have to wait until all your qualifying rounds are done, which I think there's 4 or 5 weeks of qualifying rounds.
Sure.
And had to wait until all that was done. And by the time it was done, they come out as a TOC qualifying list of brackets. So they take the top 64 women, whoever, like, so depending on where you placed, and then it, depending on, like, say, like me, I placed fifth, but if I would have had the lowest average in fifth, I would have been lower, like, in the standings.
Okay.
So I ended up placing, I think it was 52nd out of 64 for the top under, but there was also 360-some women who shot.
Oh, wow.
So I placed, I think it was 54th.
Okay, well, that's pretty good out of 300.
So I ended up in the elite, which I cried. First off, I was down at Sloppy Joe's. All of my friends were down. They were all hanging out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody messaged me, and they're like, congrats on getting elite. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? And she goes, oh, the list came out. And I'm like, what? So I go online, and I literally am sitting there. I'm already shaking because I'm like, oh, no, I did not make it. Like, are yeah. you kidding me? So I'm sitting there shaking, and all of a sudden, I scream. And everybody at the bar is like, what the heck is going on? And I scream and I start crying. And all I remember was at the time, my friend Jamie Graves was my doubles partner for our league. And like, he was there when I did my qualifier, kind of just stopped in, said, hi, hey, how's it going? Whatever. I just remember zoning him out in the bar and running up to him, crying, hugging him. And all he said was, who hurt you?
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never seen you cry. Who hurt you? And I was like, no, I made it. And he goes, a cookie? Like,
I made a cookie.
And I'm like, no, dude. And I'm like, that's when I like was still crying, but I was like, no, I made elite. And he goes, for Kansas City? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh my God, I told you you could do it. And I'm like, I've had such bad self-esteem issues, but knowing my friends, like, they've been so supportive, and they were all like, we told you you would get it. And
yeah.
I'm like,
that's awesome, though. Something that you didn't even really care if you were going to do just kind of fell into, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to work hard at this.
I did, and that was
and
my whole thing.
It's awesome.
And, like, the one thing I hate is, like, a lot of people will come up to me at the bar, and they'll be like, I've heard that you're the best woman shooter in Winona. And I'm like,
are you?
No, yes.
All right.
It's here's my
depends
thing.
On the day or what?
It depends on the day because, yeah. like, there's Mel Jacobs. She has always been very good at darts.
Okay.
She won't tell anybody that, but she is. Jamie Klungvedt and me and her have the exact same average. Both of our averages do this. Sure. We teeter totter on who's actually has the higher average. I mean, me and Jamie have done a race to five and I've beat her, but then there's been other times that she beats me.
Sure.
And then like now, Ashley Balco, she's been shooting for a few years now, and she's gotten good. I mean, like, she's another person. Michelle Mueller, she's been shooting darts here in town for quite a few years, and she's a very good shot. I mean, I tell people, I'm like, I can't say that I am the best women shooter because there is so many good women that are around here. Like, they tell people, like, the big NDA tournaments in Vegas, I have friends that go to it. I don't like big crowds. I'm surprised I even did Kansas City, but it was good.
It was good.
Yeah, but the NDA, they'll literally, like, when you're watching some of the live streams, they'll literally say, like, the best of the nation either comes from Wisconsin or Florida.
Interesting. Okay, my thoughts are, in the winter, we have nothing else to do.
Mm-mm.
But in Florida, you could do it. So why Florida?
Florida actually does a lot of steel tip stuff too.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, so the guy who makes my jerseys is from Florida. So when I was down in Kansas City, it's the one tournament that I can actually have the opportunity to shoot with a lot of these people. So when I went down there, I tried to not shoot with people from around here because I'm like, I can shoot with you anytime.
Right.
So I shot with people from Florida, and they were like, where are you from? I'm like, Minnesota. And they're like, oh, so you're right from Wisconsin. I was like, dude, I can literally walk across a bridge and be in Wisconsin. Like, yeah. I'm
damn near.
I'm pretty damn much Wisconsin. Yeah. I hang out in Wisconsin enough. Like, we share a river. What do you want? Like,
yep.
But I mean, it's really great when you can sit there and you can see some of the top people from the nation, and they're literally right in our back door. I mean, like, you have Sugar Shane Johnson. He's just up from Eau Claire.
Okay.
And I'm like, you have Rick Hensy and Tyler Hensy. They're just up. They're from the cities area. I mean, they're phenomenal people. Abby Spott, she's from up by, she's technically from in the cities, I think, now, but she's from across the river. But you have Trisha Ramiro. I mean, a lot of these people are so good that you'd never know. I mean, you have I call him the preacher. I can't remember what his actual name is, but it's Garrett Rakowski. And he's from Milwaukee.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many big names that come from just Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois area.
Yep,
like,
sure.
But I don't know. I find it also weird that, like, I feel like a lot of sports, just people come from, it's Midwest. It's upper Midwest. I'm just going to tell it. Just
Something's in our water, our Busch Light water. So, what did they ever say? What the reason why people are so good from Wisconsin and Florida? Just
I'm telling you, something in our water. I don't know.
What about Florida's water? I don't think they get Busch Light down there. Maybe they do.
They might. I don't know. I've never asked them. I should ask them.
I know one thing down south they don't have is Mick Golden.
I know.
They don't have that down there. When I lived down there, my dad was like, "How come they don't have Mick Goldens?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's just a thing up there."
Yeah,
well, anyways, that's so. Now I got a question about you're talking about steel tips and all that. When you go to certain places, obviously you probably have your own darts.
Oh yeah, they're on my purse, sitting over there. Even I have two sets of darts on me right now.
Okay,
I walk around with them constantly. So like, if people see me in Quick Trip, yes, I do have my darts on me. Don't steal them from me. I might fight you. Like, I don't, my darts are my, like, my dog, my cat, and my darts. Like, I have no life, people. I do hair and I shoot darts. Like, don't take my darts from me. I will cry.
Oh, man. So, you, like,
I will cry.
Calls you out in the bar. So, lady, you want to play some darts? Yep, hold on. Got my purse.
Oh, I will, too. I'll be like, yeah, let's go. And then, like,
oh, shit.
I've had people, like, come up to me and be like, I'll pay you for $50. And I'm like, look, dude, I'm not going to pay you for money. I'm like, I'll take your money. I don't really care. But, like, let's just, first shot,
see how it goes.
Like, that's my whole thing. Like, just play me for a drink. Do it for a chip.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, once you start bringing more and more money into it, I feel like you loses your fun. You know what I mean?
Well, someone's going to get very mad if you start beating them pretty badly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know who's, to be honest with you, you can go out and probably look at someone and be like, oh, yeah, you're a big guy. You play football. But you, anybody for darts could just be a good tosser. It don't matter your size, your sex, nothing.
You well, just, and the other people. Thing is I always hear the thing of like, you know, like we have a lot of dart players here in town. Oh, I mean, yeah. Darts has become very, very popular. And like, I'll hear it a lot of times where it's like people will go up to him and be like, well, I know that you're on a dart league. Like, why aren't you good? And I'm beating you. And it's like, okay, dude, like, are you going to tell me that you won every checkers game in your life? You won every poker hand?
Sure, yeah.
Like, you know, people have their off days. They have their off games. For Christ's sakes, it's a game. Like, that's the one thing that, like, especially when I'm in tournament mode and I'm shooting and I'm whatever, the one thing I finally, like, I had it, like, I had to keep on telling myself, it's just a game, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone does have
this
rough
isn't
nights.
This isn't life or death. Like, and some people who get so frustrated with the game and just start swearing and punching the board or punching a wall, I'd look at them and I'm like, it's a game. Like, that's really what it is. This is supposed to be your hobby. Like, yeah.
Is it not, if someone asks you to play just a regular game for fun, is it as fun anymore? Because you play a lot of competitive, obviously, like 5 days a week sometimes.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
The biggest thing that I appreciate is like, I've seen a few people, like a lot of people at Port, they'll see me, like I shoot a lot, most of my nights at Port.
Okay.
And a lot of people see me and they're like, hey, CC, what can I do to get better? And I think that's the thing, like they'll shoot a game against me and obviously, yes, I'll beat them. But then I start showing them tricks. And then by the next week, I come back and, like, you know, if I just tell people a couple of little tricks or tips and I'm like, see how it works out for you. Just this is keep it in mind, whatever. And I'll go back the next week. They'll shoot against me and they're so much better. Like, that's my fun.
Teaching them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
cool. And just, like, having more people out and about to go and have fun with. I mean, a lot of people just want to sit there and have fun with it.
Sure.
They don't want to always be serious with it. Like, yes, sometimes if I play too many, like, fun games, then I'll kind of lose my form. And then I'm like, then I'll get frustrated with myself because I'm shooting dumb. And then I'm getting the habit of shooting a dumb way. And Mike Klungvet has called me out on numerous occasions of, like, I do this thing on my last darts where I'm like.
Did he get in slow-mo?
I can't remember what the heck the Heisman Trophy. That's what he calls it. He goes, you look like you're doing the Heisman. And I'm like, shut up, dude. Like, I cannot. Like, it's so bad. And he's like, and everybody just always laughs at us. And I'm like, but the greatest thing is like, you know, I've had some bad partners in my life. Like, you know, and I always say this to some people because, like, I've had people that tell me, like, I'm just frustrated with my partner and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, you want to know something? I'm like, you want darts to be your hobby? You want to be good at darts? I'm going to tell you something. He goes, what? I said, darts is just like a relationship. Let it be your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever. Sometimes you shoot with those people. I'm like, if you're not having fun with it, why are you with them? I'm like, because to me and my partner, I mean, me and Chris, like, yes, we want to win. Yes, we're competitive, but we also want to have fun. And if we're not having fun, we shoot straight garbage. Sure. I mean, and a lot of my partners know if I'm not having fun, oh, yeah, no, I go straight trash. I can't do it.
There's a hard, that's such a gray area, though, competitive and fun. It's very tough because I am very competitive, and there's a point where I start getting mad because I want to win because winning is fun.
See, and it's really funny because, like, the guys have noticed, especially like when we were shooting our last trips tournament before I went down south, it was funny because like we were having fun and then they started getting frustrated. And then all of a sudden it's funny because they're like, CC, you're always having fun. And then all of a sudden you just flip the switch and they're like, you'll be like having fun. And then you have like a not so good game. And all of a sudden you switch this thing of like where you get mad at us because we're mad. And then you yell at us because we're not having fun. And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, and then you get mad and then you outshoot both of us. And that's literally what happens. Like, I take my frustration of like being mad at them, and I'll be like, see what you did? Now I'm pissed. And then they start laughing. I'm like, don't you laugh at me. You can't be. And then they'll be like, good job, CC. I'm like, don't touch me until we're done with this match, because you know what's going to happen then. And then we'll get done, and we'll beat them, and I'll be like, so what's up, guys? And they're like,
screw you. I'm going home.
They're like, I'm so done with you. Why would you do that? Like, and I'm like, because I was in my angry zone, and I'm playing my angry music, and like, everybody has their
happy
hype.
Place.
Dude, I have, like, everybody has their hype music, and everybody, okay, so first off, if I'm in a bar, you guys all know that I'm going to play September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
I just played that last night at trivia for a trivia question.
Oh, I love
it. So I just listened to that yesterday.
The 21st night of September. Except for now we're in November.
That's your hype song?
That's one of my hype songs. No and kidding. Then me and Matt Hovey, we shoot Stansfield doubles together.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure fully how this all came about, but Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of my Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. Yeah.
That is, that somehow that became another hype song. And it's really not a hype song, but any song can be a hype song as long as you make it a hype song.
Well, it depends on how you're thinking of it as.
I don't know. I'm always like, turn around.
Turn around.
I don't know.
Every now and then I get a little bit. I don't know the rest of it.
A little bit tired.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I always play, like, those are two songs that you're guaranteed to hear. I mean, a lot of us, like, when we're, another one you'll hear is, like, Pimp Juice.
Pimp Juice.
Ooh. And Return of the Mac.
Oh, Return of the Mac.
Yep, that's another big one that we play. There's another one that I don't, my friends Chris and Ashley got me on it. It's Bloodhound Gang, but it's Ntis, Ntis, Ntis.
And tis and tis and tis.
It's like a combination of all their songs put into one. And it's like a like an EDM almost, but it's like, I don't know, it's like hypey and you're like, I don't know. It always gets me going and I'm like, hell yeah, let's go.
I had a buddy that used to sing karaoke and he would sing the lap dance is so much better when the stripper.
I have
is
one
crying.
Friend, he gets so drunk and he'll play that and I'm like, stop.
Who is it? It's not Keith Larson, is it?
No. Okay. No.
He's the one that used to sing that one. I don't know if you know him, but yeah. So I got some questions now as we're starting to wind down here. I got questions about the equipment. Now, there's not a whole lot of equipment, but there are the darts. And you were
talking
about
your different section of darts.
You said talking about metal tips, and then and there's obviously the plastic
soft,
ones.
Yep, soft tips.
So what do you mainly use then here?
Here is mainly soft tip.
Okay. And then you were talking about the steel ones down somewhere else, like
down
people.
South, more on the eastern coast quite a bit.
Okay.
I mean, that's where you're more so going to find it. I mean, when I was down in Kansas City, I saw two bars with them in there.
Sure.
And EB's here in town has a steel tip.
EB's has it one?
Yeah, it's in their back room by the trophy case.
Now, it's when you're playing the steel tips, is it a machine?
Like, no.
So it's just...
It's a chalkboard. You have your line is actually shorter than your traditional soft tip.
Oh, really? So you're actually closer to it. Oh,
yep, but your bullseye is still set up at the same height. Your bullseye is 5 feet from the floor.
Okay.
I think. Ooh, don't quote me on that. Don't look at me like that. But
it could be.
I think
I feel
it's
like my nose is right.
Because then, like, it's from the from the center of the bullseye out from like the bullseye where it's at to where you stand is 8 feet in a soft tip.
Okay.
And then in steel tip, I believe it's 7'10". It's not like
it's not much difference.
No, it's very.
It's like two inches.
2-3 inches, okay. If that.
It's just because the heaviness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the other thing with darts is like your main thing is your barrel and like. I mean, you can buy barrels that, or like you can buy a whole set of darts for $20, and you can buy a single barrel for 100 and something.
Holy cow!
Like there was one set that I own that I think I spent like 300 and something on.
No kidding.
And then like I bought another one from a friend that was used, and I still bought it for I think 160.
Okay. Do you find those to perform pretty well then compared to?
It's kind
else?
Of the grip style itself, and like the weight, and then. You can do your different shafts. Like a lot of people use aluminum shafts. I use a carbon fiber shaft.
Okay.
I just like carbon fiber because it doesn't bend.
Sure.
And if it's gonna break, it's just gonna snap, kind of like a hockey stick.
Okay.
So that's one thing that I do like. And then my flights are all in one, like plastic that just kind of fit on top.
Sure.
I mean, they're a little bit more expensive, but they also don't bend on me as easy and tear apart. And
have you ever broke one? Like, if it hits the floor, does it shatter?
Oh yeah, like I've had my on Wednesday when I was shooting darts. First game, second throw, threw my dart, hit the bullseye, bounced back out, hit, broke my shaft. But I have a whole little tube full of shafts.
That's good.
And, like, you know, whatever else I need in there. I mean, I have anything. And then there's different things. Like, you can grab, like, a waxy thing for your fingers for to help you with a grip. I have a rosin pad.
Oh, my gosh.
You can use chalk. I mean, there's so much that, like...
Yeah, compared to those red, blue, and yellow ones I play with.
And see, so and, like, those ones are so light. Like, if you picked up mine, you'd be like...
A little different. Aiming, like, a little different.
Yeah, like, all of yours combined... don't even weigh like as much as one of mine.
And then the flight's so much different then. I'd probably
and there's so
I'd
many different
aim at the 20 and it'd probably go down to whatever the one is at the 6 o'clock spot.
Yeah. And three.
Is it three down there? Okay.
But even like your flight patterns, like you like I use a kite. Mine are like diamond shaped.
Okay.
A standard flight is kind of like the bar shaped darts.
Okay, sure.
You can buy ones that are slims that are skinnier. I mean, I have my friend shoots ones, and I'm not even joking you. They're like this big, and I'm like, they're like mini
Holy
flights.
Cow.
They're cool looking.
Yeah,
but they scare me. Them. No,
you
no.
Never see them.
So I'm like, but you can buy flights in just about any shape, size, color.
So what's your favorite setup that you have?
I have some Harrows that are 18 grams, 20 grams field dress. I have my carbon fiber shafts, like I was saying, and my Robeson kite flights.
Boy, that is so much more than I thought that there was to this game and this sport or whatever you call
and
it.
And you, I don't know, because a lot of people will call it a sport. There is, it is on ESPN sometimes.
I call anything that takes some skill like that a sport. I don't know, that's just me.
I feel like it, like, and it's funny because around here a lot of people will play cricket and they're like, cricket's more well-known and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, if you actually watch a lot of the professionals, like, especially over in Europe, oh, my God, if you ever look up, like, dart videos, the whole thing is like, people will go into stadiums, like a concert stadium.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they, like, dress up, like, as traffic cones, as construction guys. Like, I mean, it's like a party type of thing. And, like, they get signs that say,
sure,
180, which is 3 triple 20s.
Okay.
But it's all like steel tip over there. And like, I don't know. It's so funny to watch these videos, but they all shoot a one. A one is like when you get to that big master, like you're Leonard Gates, who is a guy here from the US. When you get up to his level of shooting, like it's practically everybody plays a one. They play some cricket, but a lot of their games are all a one. And what all a one is, it's, oh, this is what I tell everybody. If you want a strategic game, you play cricket. If you want to have something that's really going to show off skills, you're going to play a one.
What is a one? What is that?
A one is like when you start at like 501.
Oh, 501.
And get down to zero.
Yeah, that's where you're shooting to get down there as fast as possible.
That is more your skills.
Okay. Okay.
Strategic is more your cricket, and you can really mind screw with somebody with that.
What's your favorite one? What do you like the most?
I don't know, kind of give any given day. I like 01 just because it's, I like simplicity.
Sure.
I mean, and the other thing with 01 is like, I've always really liked math. So like, once you get to 180, you pretty much have an out, and it's just a matter of knowing what your math is to get an out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, like, you know, like 3 trip 20s is 1080, 2 trip 20s and a trip 19 is 177. You know, like just knowing your outs and knowing where you got to shoot to be able to get it. And like your opponent might not know that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just a skill set of knowing where you need to throw, but it's also a skill set of knowing your math skills and knowing your out.
That's yeah.
So
a lot of my
teammates, they always are like, they'll be standing up at the line and be like, I'm like, like if it's 71, I'm like, trip 17, single 20, or you can go bull triple 7.
Bull triple 7, yeah, that's right.
So it's like, it's just kind of different ways of like knowing
what What's your favorite spot to hit on the board? Or what's your maybe easiest? Like,
okay,
no matter what,
anybody,
I go up there.
I'm going to tell everybody this. People will say, well, triple 20s or this triple is easiest to hit. The bullseye is the biggest thing on the board.
It is, huh?
Yeah, think about it.
I just feel like 20 is
worth
easiest for me.
If you can hit a 20, though, why can't you hit a bull? It's in the same line.
I feel like it goes like it veers off. I don't know.
So,
off.
Like, a bull is still worth 50.
Yep.
The triple 20 is about this size. Mm-hmm. Your bull is this size. So, it's the width
if
of
you're talking
two...
about triple, yes. I'm just talking about the straight 20 in general.
Yeah.
Just hitting the area.
Yeah.
That one's like, I usually can just do that
but
one.
But it's worth
simple.
More points to get a bull.
I know that.
So, I mean, for me, like I said, it's any given day on what I can hit. Some days I'm really good at 20s. Other days I can't hit them.
What's the one that's the hardest for you then? Like I said,
17s have been my nemesis lately.
Is 17 the one that's on the left side?
Yeah.
Yeah, 17.
Or to the right, the right-hand side. So you have 19s, 3s, 17s. And 17, somehow, I'm just like... It's like that like redheaded stepchild that you just want to...
Beat?
Yeah, like kick the fat kid at Kmart and...
Yes.
I said that the other night. I was like, God, I'm shooting like straight garbage. It makes me want to hit a fat kid at Kmart real bad. And like everybody just turned around and I'm like.
They turned around and said, you know, Kmart doesn't exist, right?
It does. There is like three still left.
Still three
guys,
left.
But,
okay.
But it was funny because I had a massage too. So I always tell my partner, Chris, I said, if I shoot bad, it's your fault because I got a massage.
Yeah.
But then. We also, I don't know, she was sitting there and she was massaging my hand. She goes, you got real strong hands. And all I could think of was, that's my strong hand.
Yes.
And so then I was like,
too.
I was sitting there and I was like, so if I miss the board, I'm going to be like, we come, strong hand.
God, I love that movie. Scary movie too. I remember I bought that from Sam Goody back in the day. And the guy, the cash register goes, are you sure you want to buy this movie? I'm like, yeah, why? Yeah. I'm like, I heard it's really funny. He's like, no, it's not that great of a movie. And I was in eighth grade, so I was like, whatever, well, I'm buying it. So my buddy and I, we watched it, we're like, that was hilarious. What was wrong with that movie?
Well, and that's like, I don't know. Okay, so me, a lot of times, like, sometimes when, I don't know, to me, if I screw up, I just try and make a joke out of it. Like, I laugh at myself more than anything. Because if you don't, you're just going to get more frustrated, okay?
Sure.
So, like, a lot of times if I miss, or if, like, I have an okay-ish round, I'll come back and I'll look at my team. I'll be like, slap hands, water boy. It constantly goes through my head, slap hands.
Get all the movie quotes.
They always look at me and they're like,
get all the movie quotes.
And but
slap hands.
And I just sit there. I'm like, you know, I say a lot of stupid things. There's a lot of stupid things that come out of my mouth. There's a lot of stupid things that come out of all my friends' mouths. But
right,
like,
yeah.
I just way too much fun. I'm having so much fun in life now. Like
it's great.
I'm so happy with where I'm at in life. I would have never, like, moving back to Winona, I never would have thought, like, hey, I'm gonna make Winona my place. And now I'm like,
this is fun.
I'm like, God, now I'm stuck here. And it's like, even I've thought about like moving, and then I'm like, yeah, but then I wouldn't be around these people. I wouldn't be able to hang out with them. And
right.
I'm like, I kind of like these people. And then it's like, and I like doing this with these people. And now I own this business. And I'm like, God,
you're
damn
stuck.
It, Winona.
You're stuck.
That's what they do to you.
You're stuck having fun here in the Winona area.
It's Winona's, and I always tell people, like, when people move here, because a lot of people, you know, like, they'll come into the hair salon a lot of times and they'll be like, hey, what is there to do in town? And I'm like, you know, here's the thing. Winona is how you make it. There is so much to do in this town, but yet so little sometimes.
Yep. Sometimes it's okay, though, to have too little sometimes.
But I'm like, I always tell everybody, I'm like, my biggest thing is go out and see the bluffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And get on the river.
Learn the weird history.
Find a friend with a boat.
Yeah. That is number one. Find a friend with a boat.
Yeah,
and if
you
don't, go to Latch.
Oh, yeah, you can just go right to Latch and just hang on the beach.
There's so much on Latch, and Latch is bigger than a lot of people think. Everybody thinks that Latch is just, like, the one beach, and it's like...
No, it's more than that.
No, you got, like, three islands, dude. You're good.
Yeah. Well, as we're kind of winding down here, I want you to plug your hair salon because you are 1 year into the biz.
I am.
By yourself.
By myself.
A one-man wrecking crew.
Just
also with the darts, too. Yep. Where can people find you again? We said the address earlier. But
so I'm at 475 West 7th, yep. West Wabasha, right by the old Madison Elementary, two blocks towards the Bluffs from Rocco's East.
Ooh, yes, Rocco's, another staple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to go check that out then, because literally it's in the neighborhood.
Yep.
So it's not like in this big commercial.
I have a lot of people, actually, it's really funny, like they'll be getting their hair cut or colored or whatever later at night. They're like, what should I get for food? And I was like, oh, you should order Rocco's. And they're always like, where are you at? And then it's funny because the boys will just always say, I'm at CC Salon. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
They don't even say Salon C at this point. It's just CC Salon. The boys are like, all right, sounds good.
Cool, we'll be there.
Yep. And so Kenny normally delivers it. And so, but yeah, I've been doing good. A lot of people enjoy now that I have an online booking.
Oh, great. You got the online booking.
Yep. So,
fantastic.
Salon C with an I.
CI for those who are listening.
Yep. Salon C dot square dot site. And then otherwise, I always tell people you can always call and text me.
Yeah.
And my phone number 507-858-1874. So,
well, for those who are listening, look down the show notes. You'll see it. There'll be a website you can click on, go to her page as well, because I know you got a Facebook page.
I do have a Facebook page.
And you have over 1,000 people that are following you.
I do, and it's funny because I suck. Awesome. I always tell everybody I suck at posting things sometimes, so sometimes I just try and find something funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know.
That's all you need.
And all my clients, it's funny because my clients hold me very accountable a lot of times, because they'll be like, take a picture of my hair. And I'm like,
My bad.
You're right. I need to do that. And they're like, so a lot of times they'll send me pictures after they get back home and they're like, here you go. I'm like, thank you. Like, God, I feel dumb. But I don't know. I've never been a person to be like, look at my work. I'm always the person that's like, go out and tell people I did your hair. Like, that's
it's always the best referrals.
I don't know. And I've always laughed because a lot of people will look at me like if I'm out at a bar shooting darts most of the time, a lot of times the most girly thing I do is normally I have my nails done. I don't even have that done right now.
Yeah.
But normally I'm out in jeans or leggings or sweatpants with a dart jersey on and my hair up in a bun looking like a potato. And they'll look at me and be like, you do hair? And I'm like, yeah.
Not right now.
I do, but
yeah.
I like keeping it casual. I always tell everybody asks me what my sales pitch is. It's a pretty bad one.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
I look like shit so you don't have to.
Good.
Because I've always told everybody. I was like, sometimes there's always been the girls, and no offense to them, to whoever, if this is you, that get up in the morning, they get themselves all dolled up with their makeup and their hair and to a 10, and they go to their salon. And a lot of times they're sitting there in the mirror going, and like they'll be cutting your hair, but more focusing on themselves in the mirror, that they don't really care about your haircut.
Okay.
And I've heard this from especially men. And I've always looked at them and I said, do you know that the only time I really honestly look in the mirror at your haircut is to make sure to see that this blend right here doesn't look stupid?
Yeah.
I'm like, other than that, and honestly, it's just convenience that the mirror is there. Otherwise, I could easily stand in front of you and go, huh. You got a little thing right there. And I still do that even. I'll just look and
sure.
See it. And that, to me, the mirror is just a convenience for you to look at yourself. I don't want to look at myself because I already know what I look like. I look like a potato, so. My whole thing is I want everybody who goes out of my salon looking good. Like, I care more about what you guys look like because it makes, like, to me, like, I started law enforcement because I wanted to help people. I wanted to make people feel better and, you know, work with children with issues or whatever it may be, just make somebody's life better.
Mm-hmm.
When I couldn't pass anything and I went back to doing hair, my whole thing is if I can make one person's day, if I can make somebody's self-esteem a little bit better, it makes my day, it makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's my whole thing. If you're feeling good, I'm going to feel good. Sure. If you, like, I've gone through it where I've seen guys get engaged. I cut one guy's hair 3 times before he got engaged.
Wow.
Because he was so scared. So every time he'd come in, trim it up. I did make one haircut on national TV. I was proud of that one.
What was that?
I don't know if you remember when Mizzou had this would have been about 10 years ago when Mizzou was having the boys wouldn't like play because they wanted to get paid for college football.
Oh, okay. And, are you talking about Missouri?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yep.
So Luke Lambert, at the time, was working for Federated Owatonna. He used to be the captain of the Missoula football team.
Okay.
I was cutting his hair, and he reached out and talked against these boys, stating, like, hey, don't do this for the money. Do this for the pride. And I was like, that's my hair on national TV. And I had only been doing hair for, like, a year, so I feel like I had peaked then. And then just...
That's a great story. I peaked, and that's
it. I peaked my first year doing hair, and then now I've been like, I made it on national TV once. Like,
that's awesome.
Other than that, me, I do a lot of local. I always tell everybody, I'm like, I do some local people, some city councilmen, some other people. You know, like, I do some higher names hair, but overall, all I care about from my clients is that you guys are down to earth and funny.
Come on in and have some fun, huh?
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming on in. This has been fantastic. I mean, if you guys are looking for a new hairstylist, barber, she likes doing men's cuts.
Yes.
You got to go see a Salon C. That's C-I.
C-I.
Not just a C. Yes. C-I. And that's just on 7th Street here in Winona for those who are local. But also, if you see her out at the bar shooting darts, if you want to get your throat ripped out in darts, go see her.
No, probably not. But
she'll kick your ass.
I've had plenty of people kick my ass, but come say hi to me at least and be like, I saw you with Chris.
Yeah, she's such a fun girl. But I mean,
dude, I love people just coming up and shooting the shit of whatever the hell it is. Even if there's like a game on the TV and we're talking about that or just some music choices or whatever, just come up and talk to me.
I certainly appreciate
you. I have
no
life, so.
Well, I appreciate you coming on in here on a Friday night. And talking about your story, about your salon, darts, and just having some Bush lattes.
Yep, the classics with the classics.
Classics with the classics, that's right.
Yeah.
And for those who are listening out there, you can find me on any major streaming platform. But if you want to watch us and see our beautiful faces, you go on YouTube and check that out because you can actually watch the podcast if you'd like. Otherwise, look in the show notes. You'll see Salon C's website in the show notes. If you want to click on it, check it out, contact her, make an appointment, whatever you want to do. That would be fantastic. But this has been another episode of Brews and Crews with CeCe Thorne. And I want to cheers the audience and her.
Cheers.
Have a great week.